The budget crisis in the United States has hit not just the federal government, but nearly every state and local municipality. Tad Friend, a staff writer at The New Yorker, has looked into the current problems of Costa Mesa, a city just south of Los Angeles, which is debating whether to privatize many of its services like street sweeping and firefighting. His article, Contract City, is in the September 5th edition of The New Yorker, and I'm very pleased to welcome Tad Friend back to our show. Hi, Tad.
Hi, Leonard. How are you?
I'm okay. Isn't all of California suffering from a budget crunch?
It is indeed. Which actually increases the problems on cities because there's nowhere to turn. They can't sort of turn to the state as they have in the past and say, you know, can you send some more of your revenues our way? The state itself is facing a sort of $10 billion deficit shortfall and hasn't really figured that out. So cities are kind of left to their own devices.
And is Orange County, where Costa Mesa, particularly hard hit, or is it typical?
Well, actually, it'd be in short. I mean, Orange County is a well-off county, famously sort of a place for the good life to be lived. And if you drive around Costa Mesa, even though local residents have been complaining about small deteriorations in their way of life, there are some cracked sidewalks and alleys that they were hoping would be paved haven't been, and there are weeds on the ball fields. To the average visitor's eye, it does not look like a place that's, you know, needs a condemned sign to be hung up on it. You know, that said, Costa Mesa has been spending through its rainy day fund during the recession like everyone else, and has spent about $35 million more than it's brought in over the last 3 years. And there was a Republican sort of Tea Party-inflected group that took over the city council and decided that the city was heading in the wrong direction and that severe changes had to be made.
So they've come up with a plan to outsource city services. Now, how is that the best approach?
Well, I guess I would, upon sober reflection, argue that it might turn out to be a good approach for certain things. The way they did it, which was designed to sort of shock and awe, was to basically in secret, two people on the five-person city council came up with a plan to send out outsourcing notices to basically about half of the staff, to about 213 employees. And those notices didn't mean that everyone was going to be laid off. It meant that because of the contracts they had, union contracts, they had to give them 6 months' notice so that in the meantime they were going to send out requests to outside contractors to see if they could underbid the city and do jobs cheaper, like some of the jobs you mentioned, firefighting, street sweeping, park maintenance, and so forth. But it obviously attracted everyone's attention because it was such a dramatic move.
But doesn't California have an open meeting law?
They do, and there were certainly, it's in the gray area that the Brown Act, which some people said that this plan violated, they had what they call an ad hoc two-man working group, which is probably in a gray area of the law, and it's since disbanded. But when the big union, tried to get, you know, emails and records of what actually happened in these two-man meetings, there was basically nothing. So it just seemed like two guys kind of getting together quietly and agreeing to not leave a big paper trail, you could argue. They'd say they're just not big fans of email, and they did it all in person. But however it was done, it has been accomplished, and they don't seem to be trying to walk it backwards for legal reasons. But the biggest union has filed a suit saying, for a variety of reasons, they think it's against the law.
Well, doesn't Doug Lavelle, or didn't Doug Lavelle, the city department head, argue that he was actually saving money by not outsourcing? So
he was. Well, he was saying in the case of one person in particular who was a favorite employee of his, a guy named Hui Pham, who actually, for reasons that no one really knows, after the outsourcing layoff notices had been sent out, jumped off the roof of City Hall in March, which was a galvanizing event that polarized both sides of the debate because each side took his death, tried to sort of interpret it for their own purposes. The city council was saying, you know, he must have been troubled, and there's no evidence we know of that he was doing it to protest the potential layoffs, and the union side was arguing the exact opposite.
Well, where does he fit into Costa Mesa's financial problems?
He fits in. He was a maintenance worker for the city. He was a very good worker, and as you mentioned, Doug Lavelle, his supervisor, was saying that he was actually saving the city money because he did so much. He was doing work that they would have had to outsource for $40 an hour. He was doing it for $26 an hour. Where he fit in was because he was an extremely low-paid, comparatively low-paid Costa Mesa employee. He was making about $45,000 a year. He was one of the most vulnerable, and the people who were probably going to be laid off were the people at the bottom of the salary scale. There are more than 85 employees in Costa Mesa who make more than $200,000 a year, which is gets a lot of people's attention because the average household income in Costa Mesa is $62,000 a year, and people started to wonder, how come the city employees are being so much better paid than we are?
But they're not the ones who are scheduled to be laid off.
No, the ones who are going to be laid off, by and large, are people sort of at the lower end of the salary scale, which seems kind of a little counterintuitive, because if you think, if we really have to save big chunks of money, shouldn't we be sort of laying off the classic layer of fat in middle management? But a lot of the people who were scheduled to be laid off possibly would be at the lower end of the salary scale. The thing that was that the city manager there told me, he thought maybe only a third of the departments that were sent out for bids would be ultimately laid off, and one of the mayor of the city actually said he thought it might only be half. So that some would question why you then needed to make, you know, all 18 departments, people kind of feel like they were in jeopardy, since no studies had actually been done about whether outsourcing would in fact save money.
The interim police chief resigned after the WeFam incident, and he used some pretty heated language in his resignation letter. He said that the council had acted as, quote, as if they are owners of the business that is the municipal government of the city of Costa Mesa, but they are not. They are merely trustees of these public assets, both human and physical, and they fail in that role completely. What was the public reaction to that statement?
Well, it sort of stirred the pot up again. After WeFam's death in March, there was a real outcry in the next couple of council meetings, which occurred there biweekly. We were very angry, and lots of people speaking out and expressing their feelings and a general sentiment against the potential outsourcing at that point. And then things sort of gradually kind of calmed back down. But then in June, the budget itself, the next year's budget, was coming up for a vote, and he resigned the day before that budget meeting and got everyone all kind of riled up again, and the budget meeting itself took 7 hours to for everyone to speak, which is a long time, starting at 6 p.m. and ending after 1 a.m. in the morning before they finally voted 4-1 to approve the new budget, which would included a number of things like laying off police officers, which was one of the reasons that Steve Stavely was upset. He felt like the new model was not going to provide enough policing to take care of Costa Mesa's crime problems.
I'm talking with Tad Friend, whose article, Contract City, When a Town's Budget Fight Turned Deadly, is in the September 5th issue of The New Yorker. Really at the center of all of this is pension rates, and the low retirement ages for union employees. Is this all that different a debate than what we've seen in Wisconsin and Ohio?
No, it's part of that same debate. There are pension problems all over America, and one of the sort of galvanizing factors in Costa Mesa for the city council was looking at their numbers and saying, of our $93 million general budget, $15 million this year is going to pay pensions. And they had projections, which are arguable, but that's a longer story, but they had projections that within 5 years it was going to go up to $25 million and be a pretty significant chunk of what they're paying every year. It would be paying people who are no longer working for the city and no longer providing daily benefits for the city.
That usually leads to negotiations with the union.
It usually does, and that's you know, that's what a lot of people say, is that, you know, there's a less of a DEFCON 1 way of going about this, where you just try to bring the union back to the table and reopen the memorandums of understanding, and that's what the union itself argues should have happened. But the problem, to get back to your earlier point, is, you know, in New York City, pensions are scheduled to run out in 10 the money for them in 10 years, and in Philadelphia in only 4 years. And it's a problem not only in Wisconsin, but in New York State. Governor Cuomo has proposed raising state employee retirement ages by up to 8 years. And there's a general move to sort of cut pensions, establish lower tiers, raise retirement ages, and address a problem that has really gotten out of hand, because projections were we can pay all these pensions if the stock market keeps going up at 8% a year, which obviously has not been the case.
The unions in Costa Mesa claim that its citizens strongly oppose the city council's outsourcing plans, but Jim Righeimer, the leader of the movement, was elected to the council. So how strong a case do the unions have?
Well, it's interesting. It's one of those whose poll do you believe kind of things, where the union financed a poll that said that people are opposed to it, and then the conservative Costa Mesa Taxpayers Association financed a poll that basically said the exact opposite. And Righeimer was elected to the city council. I think there was a feeling like we need to look at our budgets. People were upset about some of the sort of curb appeal issues. They were feeling like for 5 years we've delayed spending on infrastructure, and there are weeds on the ball fields, and it would be nice to fix some of those sidewalks and make sure that our parks are maintained and so forth. But I don't think they were expecting. I mean, people always want more services for less money. It's a classic conundrum of government. And everyone I spoke to in Costa Mesa who didn't have a dog in the race one way or another, who's just a citizen, seemed to both want a return to fiscal sanity, a sense that the city was not going to run out of money. At the same time, they also wanted to keep all their employees and make sure they were happy and well-paid. And at a certain point, there does become a problem of how you do both of those things.
Well, Righeimer causes controversy in other ways as well. He said Costa Mesa could reduce crime by expelling its undesirables and attracting better residents. I don't know how you do that. But that sounds kind of like the outsourcing initiative, maybe about economic classes. Is there a clear socioeconomic class divide in Costa Mesa?
Well, one of the things that people talk about in Costa Mesa that people take pride in is that, unlike, say, Newport Beach next door, which is famously, a setting for reality shows about the luxurious life, people feel like Costa Mesa is a middle-class a city which has a broad representation demographically. It has a barrio, it has biker gangs. It's not just a sort of cookie-cutter Orange County anodyne place, and people have been proud of that. I think the people who are opposed to Righeimer do very strongly believe that there is a hidden socioeconomic motivation and a class war argument, and that they're looking. And Righeimer, frankly, says that we want more young, college-educated couples to move to Costa Mesa. We're losing them to other cities in Orange County because we don't have the amenities, because people are worried about education here. They're going to other places where they feel like, it's safer or it looks better or it's a place we want to raise our children. And it's a sort of a tricky thing, obviously, every time saying on the one hand we want to have young college education couples come to our city is doesn't sound that bad, but if it means at the same time we want a more homogenous population, we don't want Mexican Americans, let's say, and I'm not saying Righeimer is saying that because he never has said that, but people have inferred that, then it gets into a tricky area.
Well, if you're firing the people who are on the lowest end of the economic scale, you're assuming, I guess, that they're going to leave town looking for jobs elsewhere. But I would think that people would be glad to renegotiate pensions and retirement ages to avoid more unemployment, especially in this economic climate. Why does this debate seem so difficult to solve?
That is, I guess, because the two sides seem so far apart. There is Jim Righeimer and his colleagues are very adamant about this. They don't want to go back to the table. They don't want to, sit down with the head of the biggest union and talk things over and try to find a middle solution. There is a determination that, we are going to do this. We are going to scorch the earth, and the only way to do it is to upset people and make a severe change, because otherwise that change will gradually be rolled back by the next council when it comes in if we get voted out. So they really want to sort of, establish something that can't be immediately dismantled. And since they are in power at the moment for at least another, year and a half, it's hard to gainsay them. People can go and scream, as they have been at council meetings, all they want, but they have a clear 4-1 majority that is very adamant about what they want to do. And so they don't seem to be, and they also believe that there are a lot of people in the city who support them and who'd say, keep doing what you're doing and so forth. So it has kind of divided the city in a way that doesn't seem susceptible to easy sort of moral suasion of some kind.
People have suggested that what happened in Wisconsin and Ohio and elsewhere is part of a national attempt to weaken unions even further than they already are. What do you think these current problems say about the future of unions in the United States?
Well, I think there is a clear you know, forceful and seems to be, so far at least, effective attack on public unions in particular and their power. And I think, you know, the union officials I spoke with were very concerned about that. The head of the local Orange County Employees Association, which represents about half of the city employees in Costa Mesa, said, told me candidly that he was concerned that the Costa Mesa model, as he was calling it, would spread and that other surrounding cities would take it up and would have an equally sort of draconian approach to union negotiations, which is, okay, we don't want to deal with you. We're going to outsource it to someone else.
Well, this is called the Lakewood Plan, so this is already based on some other city's approach, isn't it?
It is. I think Lakewood is a city in Los Angeles County that incorporated about 55 years ago and was worried about being annexed by Long Beach, so it decided we will incorporate it as a city, but we can't afford to sort of chin up our own complete police department and fire department and roads crews, so we'll just outsource it all to Los Angeles County, and that worked very well. And 80% of the new cities that start up in the area actually adopt the Lakewood Plan. The thing that's unusual is for a fully fledged city that has its own, you know, librarian and meter maids to suddenly say, you know, we're going to go back to the Lakewood Plan. We're going to give up the apparatus of a civic life and just be content to outsource everything. And I think people are concerned that a way of life begins to go if you no longer know, you know, your friendly paramedic, or you no longer know your friendly policeman, but it's just someone who's rotating in from 45 minutes away.
Tad Friend's article, Contract City, When a Town's Budget Fight Turned Deadly, is in the September 5th issue of The New Yorker. Thank you so much, Tad.